I'm Dave Hendon, and I'm in Sheffield, the snooker city, a stone's throw from the Crucible, if you can throw a stone 3 miles, that is. It's one of the biggest days of the season. It's the final qualifying round of the Betfred World Championship, and this is just a mini podcast, a short interview I've done with one of the qualifiers, Gary Wilson, who I think was actually a good choice because in many ways he's typical of a lot of the British players who've come through, been playing since he was a kid, got on the tour when he was young. Snooker wasn't in a great state at the time. He fell off, worked as a taxi driver, but then he got back on, and since he's got back on he's done pretty well. He's earning a good living again, and he's very happy, as you will hear shortly, to qualify for the Crucible tomorrow. That's Thursday as we speak. I'll be looking at the draw, which will be made, of course, at 11 o'clock UK time. Well, I'm here in Sheffield, and it's an interesting day, this, because there's two types of snooker player on a day like this. There's players in the pits of despair because they're not at the Crucible, and then there's Gary Wilson and the other qualifiers. Gary, you're through. I wouldn't say it was painless, but at least it didn't sort of go 8-all, 9-all. You got the job done 10-6.
Yeah, especially if you're 9-6 up, you don't want them getting 9-7, 9-8. Obviously, the doubts are going to creep in a little bit that you could not even do anything wrong, and you could end up still getting beat 10-9, you know. So yeah, just happy to finish it off and get that chance in the last. Mm.
There's a lot of talk, there will be a lot of talk about the Crucible and, you know, the World Championship coming up. You played there before. What does it actually mean to be in that draw?
Everything. Like I was saying in previous interviews just there, I was desperate to get through, which isn't the best thing in a way, because you kind of put a bit much on yourself at certain times, and you maybe chuck a few frames away that you shouldn't do, just through really silly shots that you're trying too hard on, really. So yeah, for me it was just kind of desperate to get through because of being there the first time and then missing last year. You want to get there again, otherwise you don't know when you're going to get back. So yeah, I'm just really pleased to get through again. Yeah,
and you know, these days, thankfully, there are a lot of tournaments. You've played in maybe 15 events this season, but if you're not at the Crucible, the season is, I guess, it's a disappointing end. And also, it's the one time of the year people are going to see you, aren't they? It's on the BBC, it's the tournament. If people are going to watch snooker, that's the one they're going to watch.
Yeah, definitely, it's the biggest tournament, isn't it? Obviously, so it's the one you want to be involved in. I've only been in it once, so for me it's not such a massive deal, where like for other players who are there most years, I guess if they miss out they're devastated, you know. I mean, I would obviously be disappointed, very disappointed, but I wouldn't have been absolutely devastated like some of the players have had a loss, because I've only been there once, you know. So I'm just delighted to get through again.
Your debut was interesting 2 years ago, because A, it's a debut, you're at the Crucible for the first time, so you got all that excitement. Then you draw Ronnie O'Sullivan, obviously kind of the tournament favourite. Can you remember how you felt? Were you really nervous? I seem to remember you sort of went behind early on, but then you did recover. You started to play really well, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't really that nervous. I mean, your first couple of frames, I guess you're just trying to find your feet and just hope that you play decent, and you don't want to be one of these that turns up with the Crucible for the first time and just absolutely collapses and just basically can't pot a ball. And I knew after two or three frames that it wasn't going to be that way. I felt comfortable in the first frame. I was comfortable on the table, in my surroundings, in what was happening, and that's like half the job done. Then the next half is actually being able to play. But I didn't really feel like I'd done that much wrong to go 5-1 down. I had a couple of really bad bits of a run, and I missed a couple here and there, but he played quite well to go 5-1, and I still fancied sort of making a game of it, which is probably why I did bring it back to 5-4. So yeah, I felt all right in general.
And at the end of the match, it was interesting because he really celebrated, which you don't normally see, certainly the first round, Ronnie. You know, he knew he'd been pushed.
Maybe. I don't know whether, you know, Ronnie, it could be for all sorts of reasons. It could have been that, or I think more likely it's just because he just wanted to show how much it meant to him, kind of thing. And not to do with me or the game, just he wanted to give the fans a bit of something, you know. So it didn't mean anything to me. It was just well done to Ronnie, and well played, and carry on, yeah.
In terms of the Crucible, I mean, again, people who played there say how special it is. It's the World Championship, so of course it's special. But in terms of the venue to play in, I guess the main thing is, it is small, isn't it? It is intimate. There's not a lot of room. How did you sort of find that?
I loved it. Like I say, I was comfortable with that, and I quite jokingly compared it to a working men's club kind of environment, where you've got the old guys just sitting around the two tables, you know. And in a stupid sort of way, it did feel a bit like that, where everyone's very close, and it's like coming to the working men's club on a Tuesday night and playing your best of nine game, you know. And everybody's right there on top of you, and I'm comfortable in that kind of environment. I prefer that more than most of the venues, where the crowd are so far away. You do almost feel like you're still just playing on your own, although the crowd are still there and there's a lot of noise. You don't really see them, you don't really interact with them as much. whereas you can hear everything in the Crucible, everyone's basically right on top of you, and yeah, I love that kind of atmosphere.
The other thing that's different, and it's been the same with the qualifiers, is of course the matches can take place over 2 days, so you have, you know, time to think about the position you're in, and that is another sort of mental challenge, isn't it? You know, you can't, if you're ahead, you can't afford to get carried away, and I guess if you're behind, you can't afford to sort of give up.
You just basically can't afford to overthink things, yeah. I think, in any respect. And I've had a taste of that again this week, obviously. I've had 2 games out of the 3 where I've had to wait overnight to play again. And you've just not got to think anything. You've not got to try and sort of think about it. Because you could, like you say, you could be too positive and it not work out that way, or you could be a bit negative and it could easily change. And best just forgetting about it and waiting until the time comes again where you're back on the table striking the weight.
You've had, I guess, Gary, in a way, 2 careers. You sort of broke through when you were very young. You came onto the circuit at a time when there weren't many tournaments, and it's very hard, certainly, like, for a first-year pro to stay on, and it was difficult. There was months between events. Then you had some time away. Now you've come back, and it's all changed, doesn't it? And what do you sort of feel about the way your career's gone? And did the time away, how was that? Were you sort of hungry to come back?
Always, yeah. I mean, I always felt like it's what I wanted to do and what I deserved to be doing. But I'm a completely different player in certain respects, technically, than what I was the first time I was on the tour. And I got into some really bad habits playing-wise, and, like you say, a lack of tournaments, a mixture of things, and then dropping off the tour by 1 frame in the World Qualifiers, 10-9, and then obviously trying to qualify to get back on again on the playoffs, where the tables aren't recovered every event, and I found that a struggle. The pockets were tighter, everything was pinging, they were drifting. I just found like I had a few years of, not making excuses, but like I just didn't feel like I could get back to where I wanted to be. Or if the conditions were right, it deserved to be, in a way. But like I say, I was a completely different player back then, and probably not as good. So I'm not by no means outstanding player in my own mind yet, neither. But I feel like I've got a lot more. I give myself a lot more of a chance these days than what I did years and years ago, which I think is what's helped us. And obviously the tournaments as well, being so many more, you've got more chances.
You did never think, actually, okay, snooker's not for me then? I'll probably a couple of times,
like a lot of people. I guess if you ask most pros, 90% of pros, they'll all say there's been a time or two in their career where they've thought, you know what, not for me. I can't be doing this anymore. It's too much, and I'm not good enough, and blah. You get all them thoughts coming in, and I had them as well. But I guess you just know deep down in your gut if you can do it or not. And I think I always did, and I always do know that I can do something in the game deep down. So that's what pushes you on.
Also, I guess it's in your blood, isn't it? You've been playing from a young age. How did you actually sort of discover snooker?
Same as most players, a little table for Christmas, playing when they're young, and then Dad took us down the snooker hall at 8 year old, and that was it. 8, 9 year old, I knew what I wanted to do. So just, it's been my life. And I guess aside from jobs like taxi driving and working in a bar and working in a factory, like the mundane jobs you have to do to earn the money, when I wasn't playing well at snooker or I wasn't on the tour and earning money through snooker, they're just basically jobs that I would never see myself wanting to do. But you think, well, what am I going to do? Like, if I'm not a snooker player, it's all I've ever done. What am I going to do? Like, literally, I wouldn't know what I would like want to do. I'd probably still be a taxi driver and just going through the motions and end up depressed or something.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. I mean, obviously, you know, sport and snooker is no different. It's a bit of a roller coaster of emotions, but you can have these amazing highs, I guess, in sport that maybe you can't have in sort of what you might call normal jobs.
Yeah, I mean,
less security maybe, more exciting.
I'm yet to find a few of them yet, like, but I know obviously I want to win a tournament at some point if I can. But yeah, obviously you get great highs and obviously great money if you do well as well. So it's trying to enjoy it and play well at the same time, and you know, it's a hard balance, trying and enjoying it at the same time. I've just got to keep plugging away. I mean, I'm in a lucky position, and like a lot of players will say, I'm in a lucky position to be able to play the game I've always played and make a living out of it now. So I'm just trying my best every tournament and see what happens.
And you come from quite a strong area, not just for snooker, but for Q sports in general, obviously billiards as well.
Yeah.
So you've grown up in that environment. Stan Chambers was, I don't know if Stan's still involved or not, but he was like the great character from that area, wasn't he? That sort of, a bit like Malcolm Thorne in Leicester, really helped the young players.
Massive for the game, Stan Chambers. I mean, he taught me snooker from 8 years old, and he's been there all through he's been there or thereabouts with us all through my career, especially through the younger days, where, like I say, when I was 8, 9 year old through till I was about 16, 17, he was always there helping us. He would help us down the club, he would put us in the working men's club when it was closed in the afternoon for a couple of hours, and he would take his time to help me. And I can't appreciate enough them years that he did that for us, but for the game in general as well. He's like you say, he's like a Malcolm Thorne of the North East. He's such a massive influence to snooker and Q sports in the North East. It's amazing. And he's still kicking around. He's still coming in Whitley Bay clubs. Good. Comes to see Paul with his wife Sheila. Comes in once or twice a week. Still does a bit of the Saturday morning coaching as well. So he's still there. And he's what a brilliant bloke he is.
Good. That's good to know. As we speak now, we don't know obviously who you're going to play because the draw's tomorrow. But I don't know. It seems to me in general that there is a sort of a lessening of the fear factor between the qualifiers and the top players. I guess you spend a lot of time together on the tour, don't you? There was a time when if you were ranked sort of 40 in the world, because the qualifying was different, it wasn't an open draw, you wouldn't see the world number one until if you got to the venue, and there'd be a bit of mystique around a Davis or a Hendry.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that's not quite there now.
Yeah, you kind of see them more for the players that they are, which don't get us wrong, they're phenomenal players. But you used to turn up, and even in the old format, I remember when I was first on the tour, and you'd get to the last qualifying round where you'd play a player ranked 17 to 32 to get through, you still wouldn't really see them. And you'd play them and you'd think, these are like God.
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking, I can't make a single mistake because these players don't ever miss and things.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not true, but at times they did play like that as well.
Yeah.
And you just think it's such a different kind of perspective now, where you're seeing them all the time on practice tables and you're seeing them play matches and you're sort of watching them more and more and you're going, oh, he missed that, and he's played a bad shot there. Oh, he is human.
Yeah.
He is doing the same things that I do daily in practice himself. And I know if I can play my game, I'm just as good as that. So it is totally different in that kind of way. It's a different mindset, I think, yeah.
So looking ahead to next week, again, we don't know who you're playing, we don't know when, but the fact that you're there is huge, isn't it? And what do you hope to take out of it, obviously, other than the trophy, which everyone wants? Is it to play well, to enjoy it? Is it to give a good account of yourself?
To play well and win, basically. I mean, I'm not there to lose, and I've not worked this hard to try and obviously just turn up again and get beat out. I want to try and play as well as I hopefully can, and get through that first round, at least get into the tournament. That's the goal so far,
Okay, well, congratulations. It's a feat to qualify. It's tough to qualify. You're in the draw. Good luck next week.
Thanks very much. Cheers,
Gary. Thanks a lot. Cheers.